We have today probably one of the most important Gospels that we ever hear, and one of the most profound when it goes to the really heart of the whole Christian life. And yet at the same time, there are other things which demand in some ways that we turn toward them. The Archbishop of Cincinnati has written a letter, which Father Jamie has put in all the bulletins, and I urge you to read that. And it concerns the recent revelations in the news. And Father has asked all of us to speak about this in the parishes, the three parishes this weekend. And I would just like to share reflections with you. I don't know whether any of you had the stomach to read the stuff or not that's come out about Theodore McCarrick and about the grand jury report from Pennsylvania. But you know, human beings are weak and human beings can sin. And all of us have. But this is beyond that. If you've never believed in the power of the demonic before, this is a good time to revisit that and reflect upon it, for this is not human, what happened. And you know, as I thought about it, I've been a priest a long time. I was ordained in 1967, which means I was in the seminary during the Second Vatican Council over in Europe. And the one thing that I noticed is the changes that the council perpetrated came so violently and so quickly that large numbers of our people lost their faith. They remained cultural Catholics, but the heart and the core of it all was kind of ripped out of them. And one of the consequences of that was that many people carrying on the charade of Catholicism flocked into our seminaries looking for a place that they didn't feel they fit somewhere in the world, and this was a comfortable place for them to be. Most of the horrors that we read about happened in the 70s and the 80s as a result of this loss of faith and this running into the seminaries to avoid the rest of life. I know I was on the faculty of the Minor Seminary in Columbus, Ohio at the time, and when it hit us, nobody knew what to do. We got together as a faculty with the bishop and we voted to close the place, which we did. Nobody seemed to be able to deal with what was happening. Everything in those reports, very little of it, is contemporary. All of it, most of it, is from those two or three decades following the turmoil of the council. The bishops were complicit, as we know, and they therefore betrayed their own people. I think that what we have to come to deal with and to understand, it's very different now, but there are still some of those. We have a bishop on the West Coast who received 2 years ago a chapter and verse 13-page report on Theodore McCarrick and did nothing. And now trying to justify himself, saying, well, I don't know if I trusted the source. Well, he didn't have to trust the source. The facts were there. And it's not just among the American bishops, it's across the ocean as well. The complicity and the guilt is everywhere. The church has to go through a great cleansing and a great penance and prayer and reparation for the sins that have been foisted upon people because of the horror of this thing. But on the brighter side of it, your archbishop was not consecrated a bishop until 2001. And since 2002, all of this has been very minimal and has been dealt with very quickly. He's not part of the great swamp that existed before 2002. I personally had an involvement with a person and took them to the Archbishop, who had a very healing touch with them. He was kind and compassionate and wise. I watched it work, and I watched it work well. I think on the other hand, too, Cincinnati therefore is blessed. On the other hand, too, in this parish, your home, where you live as Catholics, you have a pastor who's a very good man and a very good priest and believes very deeply in Jesus Christ and serves him very generously. As were the priests who were sent to assist him, Father Jason Williams and Father Jacob Willing, outstanding young men, men of faith. Religion without faith is a charade. and it is the playground of the devil. Authenticity is what rejuvenates the human heart and opens it up to the transcendent wonder of the living God. In this gospel today, we are drawn and reminded that we are a Eucharistic people, that all this other stuff, whatever it is, if it isn't done in faith and belief in Jesus Christ present among us in sacrament and word, it is a sham and it has no meaning and no purpose. In here, in this gospel today, Jesus said, "For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. And whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him, and they will have life because of me." This is our identity. This is who we are. The cultural shackles can fall away and all things can become confused and dark. And all things can become something they're not, but not the presence of Jesus Christ in our midst, and not the presence of Jesus Christ as the center of our lives. We live this faith because we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe that he comes into us body and soul, that he informs us, transforms us, and sends us out into the world as images of himself for the sake of others. That's who we are. And again, that we are anybody else is absurd. This morning, I had a friend of mine who's a bishop call. He's writing a very strong letter to the president of the bishops' conference, and he said he's being told by everybody not to send it. It might in some way hurt his career. And I said, "What are you going to do?" And he said, "I have to send it, or I'm just like the rest of them." There are good men, there really are, and there are good bishops, and I think that we have one. And there are many of them, but there are also the bad ones here and in Rome, and that's the way it is. And the Lord will judge, and the Lord will cleanse his temple, and the Lord will bring us into the fullness of eternal life, if we but believe, listen, and come to him in the sacrament of the altar. This morning then, we look at this gospel and we have here, how much clearer can it be? We are here to have God inside of us. And we have the ability to do that. That's what the Catholic Church offers to the world. And so that's what we do. And let those things which are what they are into the hands of God and whoever else wants to deal with them. But our life is here, before the Blessed Sacrament, in faith. And it is in here that we find meaning and purpose and hope and eternal life. Let us share that with one another. And let us come to understand that what we deal with is a dangerous reality. And when it isn't authentic, it's deadly. Let us not be part of that. Let us be part of this.